We hope you're sitting comfortably. Once upon a time, there was a boy called James. James loved jazz. James lived in a country far, far away. And when the love of jazz and the country that he moved to met, well, it took him on an adventure that he could never quite believe was happening. Quite simply, it was a jazz fairy tale.
I feel like I'm on an episode of Fairy Tale Theater. Shout out Shelley Duvall. Oh, goodness.
Right, we'll give that in anyway. We'll say it right. Okay, so. Hello, welcome to episode 64 of the Tokyo Jazz Joints podcast. We're back. It's been a while. I think it's about 2 months based on what I see on SoundCloud. And those of you who follow us on social media will know, of course, that since we last spoke, I've been in Japan with James and we've continued this crazy adventure that began 8 years ago now. But we have a very special episode today, don't we, James? It's not quite the normal, and obviously you're off for a special birthday, so it may be a little bit longer before we get the next episode out, but we felt like this was very important to get this particular episode out, and we're going to get onto that in very short time. But before that, how the devil are you?
Well, my friend, I'm doing great. Just cracked a tall can of Spring Valley After Dark, which is their Gente limited edition dark lager here in Japan, and it is scrumptious on an unseasonably cold Saturday night here in Yokohama. Feeling good, ready to pod. Feels like it's been too long. If anybody had heard our warm-up prep for this, they would know that, or a little bit out of practice. But yes, it is. It's great to be back, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. We've got loads of really good episodes, hopefully. I mean, if we're allowed to say that, but we've got loads of great episodes coming up. We've had an absolute blast down in Kyushu together. Then you left me bereft in Nagasaki, and I carried on for another couple of days. And it was probably one of the most intense trips I've had. And there wasn't a lot of time to stop, but lots of photographs, lots of jazz, Kisa, old and new, and lots more stories to tell. But the reason that we're recording this particular episode with a little sense of urgency is that obviously we've got some very exciting news, and there may be one or two of you who have already twigged this. I know, James, that you, for want of a better word, I can't use that expression. There was a large piece of a previous podcast episode that I had to cut out because you got a wee bit ahead of yourself. But anyway, we're finally, happily at that time right now. And why don't you just tell us? Why don't you just tell us? Then I'm going to pick your brains and I'm going to ask you some questions so that we can dig a little bit deeper into how this came about, what people who are listening can do to support, and just what an incredible sort of evolution and next step it is really for you particularly, and just for this kind of love and passion that for Jazz Kisa that obviously you have and I share and that we've kind of tried to share with others through Tokyo Jazz Joints and Tokyo Jazz Site. So kicking off there, what's occurring?
Well, it's about that time again to rely on the goodwill, love, and support of all of our fans and listeners around the globe, because we, Philip, because you are an integral part of this, of course, are launching a Kickstarter campaign so that myself and DJ Otsuka, my very good friend here in Japan, who I've worked with for many years, we are going to try and inherit the amazing Egakon Jazz Cafe. And I think a lot of people listening would have been there. There's so much serendipity about the Egakon over the years. And, you know, this is an opportunity that developed quite randomly. It wasn't something that I pursued. We can get into that a little bit later, how it came about. But basically, the owner, the very kind and skilled Yoshida-san, he informed me that, you know, he's getting a bit up there. He just turned 78. He's, you know, wanting to slow down a little bit. And he was concerned about what to do with the cafe that he has run for more than 45 years, has put his heart and soul and so much work into it. And he really wanted to find a way to keep it open and, you know, hopefully somebody who could preserve the unique culture of the place. And so he approached me, and I was shocked. I was thrilled. I was honored. I was also a bit terrified because I was thinking, oh, wow, how am I going to do this? And, you know, and so, but, you know, over the years, I'd been speaking with you, Philip, and with DJ Otsuka as well. You know, we'd always had this idea that one day we'd like to open a kind of a new style jazz cafe, you know, a place that'd be family friendly, maybe a different kind of vibe, just to, you know, updated into the new generation. But getting this chance to take over a classic, and not just a classic, I believe I had it ranked as my favorite jazz cafe in all Japan, was such an insanely random opportunity that there was no way I could say that I wasn't interested.
It's not the only random thing too, right? Because I think, and you reminded me of this most recently on the trip. So, I mean, I think first of all, where it kind of intersects with the project is that certainly when I've been like talking about Tokyo Jazz Joints in different places and you know, especially at conferences and things like that, I've kind of always come across this. I quite often tell that story about, you know, finding those, that the owner producing those John Coltrane negatives up in Hokkaido and often wonder, you know, what will happen to all this stuff, and you know what will happen to these places if they close down, like as we've seen in a hurry. So the fact that someone's not only given you that opportunity but also is thinking about that legacy and passing that on and continuing that legacy that he's built is a fantastic thing. But also, you reminded me when we were back there doing some shooting a few weeks ago that when we first went to Egakan, which is the only time that I photographed it, and obviously if you're not familiar with Egakan, you can find it on tokyojazzjoints.com, but if you have the book also, it's the photograph with very iconic sound system in it, big, very large brown wooden speakers. And, you know, it's often a photograph that I use to kind of demonstrate the idea of how the sound system almost functions like an altar, you know, like you would find in a church or a temple. And I think you said that when we went there, funny enough, I think I had possibly met DJ Otsuka before you, and actually it was me who introduced you to her in Egakan. And now, all these years later, you and her are taking this on as this opportunity to take Egakan into the next generation. It just seems like, again, one of those amazing ways that all the dots kind of eventually join up in this world that we've been so heavily involved with.
Yeah. There were so many things. Yes, that's exactly right. That was the first time we had communicated, I think, in email. Of course, I'd been to various DJ events where she had played, but that was the first time we'd kind of like sat down to talk. I think I'd interviewed her via email from my website. And well, another funny bit about that is Philip, you might remember, I think I sent you the copy because she took a photo of us standing outside the Egakan that day 8.5 years ago, which we recreated a few weeks ago, and we're both shocked.
I don't know if we want to share that, do we? Because I feel like
that state of our aging appearance.
That does not look good for either of us. I think
8 years. But that wasn't the only bit too. I mean, one of the reasons that this came about, good friends of yours at Kickstarter, actually, who were in Japan after we had launched the book project. I had taken them out in Shinjuku, and then, you know, we'd made a plan. I said, oh, you know, you guys like Japanese films. Okay, let me take you to this place called Egakan. You're going to love it, you know, because the guy used to be a film director. And it turned out the next day that they sadly had to cancel. They got caught up in some corporate stuff that they couldn't get out of. But I was like, well, you know, all right, I'm going to go up anyway. And that's the day that I went up. and Yoshida-san approached me. And he
amazing.
Very likely might not have done that if I had come in with some guests. You know, it was because I was there alone and the place was a little quiet. And so, you know, that sort of timing as well made me think about, yeah, everything sort of come together. And also, you know, the timing of it being that, look, I mean, we don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much, but, you know, the book has been an amazing, surprising success beyond our wildest dreams. And we've gotten so much feedback, and there's been this huge boom around the world with Japanese-inspired listening bars, what they're called overseas, I guess vinyl bars, they call them in the States. And so the timing couldn't be better to go out and tap into that and to tell people, okay, look, this is a real one here. This is a vintage one. And, you know, to have this opportunity. Now, you know, look, it is expensive. There's a lot of things to pay for. We are putting in a bunch of our own money, but we're going to need to ask for a little bit more support. There's some repairs that need done. There's a lot of Japanese paperwork and bureaucracy that I really don't want to bore people with because it's very long and complicated. But you can probably imagine if you've been in Japan, how much paperwork, and I mean physical paperwork, is involved in taking over a business. So, you know, with all of that, we talked about it and we talked about it with Yoshida-san, and we explained to him that, okay, look, we've got some of the funds we need, but we're going to have to try and raise some more through, you know, whether it's investors and really, Philip, it came down to how amazingly successful the Tokyo Jazz Joint's Kickstarter campaign was. I think if we had not done that, I would never even thought of it. But, you know, you and I talked about it a lot when you were here, and, you boosted my confidence quite a bit, which I really appreciated because I was a little, I don't know, can we really do this again? Yeah, here we are. We're going to start. We're going to kick it off officially in a few days' time. I'm really, really excited. And, you know, I think that I think this is something that's been, you know, if I look back at the last 20 plus years of everything that I've done in terms of exploring, profiling, and, you know, wandering around the whole country and trying to promote this beautiful world, what could be the more natural next step than to actually run my own and not just a new one, but to actually take over one of the most classic ones. So, I'm beyond excited and very nervous and, about how it's all going to go.
Well, I think shout out definitely to Kickstarter, you know, whether people in Kickstarter are listening to that or not, I won't name people, but we've had some people who've really been very helpful and supportive. I personally have had nothing but positive experience with Kickstarter. They've been fantastic to work with. Obviously the book, as you said, you know, we smashed that target by 100%. And they've just been a joy to work with, and they've been really helpful. I've done a bit of work setting up this campaign, obviously for AgaCan, for you. And, you know, again, I've just found them nothing but helpful, you know, encouraging and supportive. So let's get into the weeds a little bit of what's involved, how people can support. I mean, there's probably most people who are out there that are listening, you know, do have some familiarity with Kickstarter. Certainly you will, if you've helped support the book, the Tokyo Jazz Joints book. It's going to be launching on Wednesday, the 13th of March, and it's going to run approximately a month, so just around 30 days. And obviously, you know, the sooner people support and pledge, the better. The sooner you hit that target, the better. Just remind me, in Japanese yen, what are you looking for as a minimum? And this, you know, this always sounds more than it really is. So what is it in Japanese yen? I've got some conversions here for our international listeners.
Okay, well, you know, so the goal, the target is 5 million Japanese yen, which sounds like a lot, but if you convert it, that comes out to about 33,000 US dollars. That's not going to even be, I think, not even 30,000 UK pounds or
it's
euros.
Not. It's going to be 26,000 euro.
Oh,
British pounds. It's going to be 31,000 euros. I'm not doing this in my head. It's going to be 44 million Korean won. So you're probably better not to focus on won. But obviously with Kickstarter, the one of the great things about it is that whatever the rewards are set in Japanese yen, because obviously that's how you're going to be funding the project. But wherever you are in the world and wherever you're logging in or viewing the Kickstarter page, you pay in your own currency. So, you know, you get that equivalent rate. If you're in Iceland, for example, You're looking for 4,628,690 Icelandic kroner. So apologies if we haven't included your currency, but it's in and around that kind of, as you said, $34,000 mark.
You didn't have Bhutanese rupees handy there on your exchange rate? Or
do you know what? It's not in my top 20, okay. But I wouldn't be surprised if I looked on SoundCloud that we do have at least one listener in Bhutan. So anyway, so that's what you're looking for. And obviously, again, if you're not familiar with Kickstarter, it's pretty simple, really. I mean, you go on, there's a little bit of copy. There's a nice video that we shot a few weeks ago, and it kind of explains the project and why you're doing it and why you're looking for support in more detail. And I think you've kind of covered a little bit of that. But what can you get then if you pledge? I mean, I know there's different series of rewards. Like, am I going to get some shares in Aegacan? Can I turn up and claim my stake in Aegacan, or is it going to work differently?
Those shares would be slightly less valuable than investing in Apple or something like that. But no,
fair.
The nature of this project is a little different, obviously, to what we did with the book. This is more of something where you are supporting us in our endeavor to keep a gem of a place running. So, you know, I mentioned that you know, it does require quite a bit of funds to, you know, get the deed to the shop, to do some pretty necessary repairs. If you've ever been to Aegacan, you'll know that the floor, the kitchen, and the bathroom definitely need some work, and some various other, you know, legal type things as well. But what you can get are some gifts that, honestly, Philip, I was thinking about this because, you know, you and I went back and forth about it a lot, trying to structure it. And you know, I took a little time to really think about it. And honestly, I don't think I've ever seen people who may get the opportunity to do some of these things. So, of course, if you want to support us just out of the generosity of your own heart, you don't need any reward, you're more than welcome to do so. But there are definitely some gifts available. If you donate 5,000 yen, again, that's about $30, we'll send you a special postcard and button from the Aegacan. So if you donate 10,000 yen, it's about $70, you will get your name up on the upcoming Wall of Fame of supporters, or as you have so kindly put it, Philip, in very British English, the Roll of Honor.
We had a little bit of a tête-à-tête there, didn't we, about the spelling? But I think I slipped in a few correct spellings of honor.
Actually, seeing both up there, which is quite amusing.
Well, I think that really underlines the teamwork and the international outlook of the project. So you're saying, obviously, you go to Aegacan if and when you get to visit. Obviously, if you're in Japan, it's going to be a lot easier. But as we know, you know, people are constantly contacting us because they're going to visit Japan, and obviously, fans of the project, fans of jazz, fans of records, are going to Jazz Keys as well. So there's going to be that poster, right, that kind of Wall of Fame or that Roll of Honor. So everyone who submits from that level upwards, that 10,000 yen level upwards, going to have their name displayed up there in Aegacan. Presumably that's not just going up for a few months, right? That's something that's going to stay up, like some of the graffiti in the toilet that's been there for decades. No, right,
that will be there in perpetuity. You'll also get a record request. And I know that doesn't sound like much, but you have to remember, and I think most of the people listening, you know, out there today are going to remember this, is that not a lot of jazz keys or jazz bars do take requests, because the owners tend to be pretty finicky about what they're playing. Sometimes they're going through a system of what they're playing during the day, or records that they've just come in. So they don't like people coming up requesting stuff. The other thing that makes it difficult as well, when you've got a collection of 3,000 records, it's not always easy to find stuff unless you have it really clearly cataloged. And our man Yoshida-san at Aegacan, the records are really spread around the joint. So, you know, they don't usually take requests, but that'll be something that you can come in and
well, now and again, know, actually. Mm-hmm. Now and again, we get asked, right? You know, we've been lucky a few times, you know, where we're in places, and if you stay a bit longer and you're chatting, quite often owners ask. But actually, more recently, we were at a very well-known place in Yokohama with a younger owner that we often talk about. And, you know, we saw that evidence of that, because a Japanese guy rocked up beside me, and he was obviously a regular, you know, so they knew his order, and he sat down and he started chatting, and just in real time, this thing unfolded where he was sort of like, oh, you know, do you know this guy? And the owner was like, oh, yeah. Like, I know his stuff, you know? And he's like, oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, do you like him? He's like, yeah, I really do. And he kind of worked his way up. It was a bit like asking someone out on a date, right? Like he worked his way up yes. to it. And eventually he sort of said, oh, you know, could I request it? And the owner just immediately shut him down with like, mendoksai. And he was just like, nope, yeah, I'm not doing recommendations. It's a pain in the ass. And yeah, so don't be asking. So it's not easy.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that sometimes, you know, because of the nature of our work and our project, Philip, like once we've been communicating with the owners, they're so kind of like, oh, okay, so you guys are going around here, and there. So what do you like to listen to? So in a sense, they almost offer it sometimes, even though it's not a usual
yes, thing absolutely.
In the joint, you know? So, but yeah, so if you're a supporter for, you know, that much of 10,000 yen, ichiman yen, as we say in Japanese, again, not even 100 US bucks, you'll get your name on the Wall of Fame, the Roll of Honor. You get to come in and request something. Then we're going to kick it up a little bit. We get up to, this is where it starts to get pretty good. 50,000 yen, again, 350 bucks. This is where you can come and be a guest selector for the evening, and you can bring whatever records you want. Let's rephrase that. It's got
to
be jazz.
I was going to say, you need to rephrase that straight away.
Yeah. Don't be bringing in your old, like, you know, Def Leppard records. Although imagine Def Leppard on the audio system.
Well, I mean, you say pour some sugar on me.
I think one night actually
pour some sugar on me through those speakers. I'd be up for that.
Whew. Have to close down after that. Anyway, opportunity. You can bring your records and be the guest selector for the evening. And I mean about 4 hours, 4 to 5 hours. Okay, you'll be up on the Wall of Fame. You got your drinks on the house, and you get the opportunity. And Philip, listen, we've talked about this again and again. You know how we joke about how you'll often request Coltrane's Olé album, and I'll request any Bobby Hutcherson album when the owners do ask us, what do we want? And but one of the reasons that I know that I often request similar albums to or albums that I have at home is because the difference in the sound is it's just you hear the music in a way that you never imagined possible. And in Agacon, and I can't emphasize this enough, this audio system was hand-built. Yoshida-san is an incredibly nifty guy, DIY. He built a lot of the clocks and the whole light system in the cafe. Like, almost everything you see is stuff that he has put together by hand over the years. And so the sound in the Agacon is so special that, you know, say you've got, you know, some of your favorite jazz records and you've got a good system at home, but it won't be a system that sounds like this. And so getting that chance to come in and be the selector for the night, playing whatever you want to really hear, I think is something that, you know, a lot of people that who support us, I mean, we've talked about this. I mean, think of how many kisaten we've been into and how the owners are like, do not touch the records. Do not touch the speakers. Sometimes there's even signs. Remember in Charmant, he had a sign up on the thing. It says, do not touch the records, you know?
Oh, like, I mean, there's a photograph that didn't make it into the book in the end, but there's the one from Jamaica, which I've used a lot, which is the, you know, Recuerdo Teofurenaide. And that, yes. you know, that one, right, yes. just right in the middle of the records. And actually, even more recently, which we'll talk about in some of the upcoming episodes, but at Donato, there's just a record just propped up on a chair. But on the top of the chair, it says, you know, in English, actually, please do not touch. So, like, it's no mean thing, right, to get in there, to get on that record player, to choose what you want to do. And like you said, you know, it's so rare to get a request full stop, or at least, to, you know, maybe even just one. So to be able to go in there and play whatever you like through, as you said, basically utterly unique, one of a kind sound system is a pretty cool thing. So that's, we're getting up into the top tier rewards now. And when you go onto the Kickstarter page, you'll see there's different limits. So it's not a case of everybody can get everything. So if you're after something like that, you know, there is a limited number of those slots. And obviously then once the project goes ahead and hopefully the campaign is successful, then obviously, you know, you'll work out all those logistics with those people, whether they're either in Japan and or organizing whatever evening they come, or indeed, you know, someone who's planning to come and visit Japan, as we know many people do, can come and do that as well. I mean, what an amazing kind of experience to have, and you know, something that in this case, money can buy, but actually, generally speaking, money can't buy. So it's pretty cool. So there's two more rewards, I think, then, isn't there? And this, I think this next one's one that maybe I've got my eye on, actually. So tell us what the 75,000, which is up in and up around $500, I think, right? Or slightly more.
Yeah, a little more than $500. And it's only a limited quantity. There's 20, because if you've seen the pictures of AgaCon, you'll understand why. You will sponsor a seat inside AgaCon, and you will get your name put on to a small plaque that will be put in. You know, I don't think they really do this. In fact, I'm pretty sure they do not do this in Japan. But I remember in New York, when you go to some of the parks in New York City, you'll be sitting on a bench, and you'll see that, you know, this bench was provided by so-and-so for so-and-so. And you're like, when I was a kid, I remember thinking, like, why is somebody's name on here? And it's like, oh, okay, they basically donated to the park upkeep. They made a donation. And so in return, they were able to, you know, basically sponsor that bench, and their name will be there forever, as long as the park
is open. It's a big thing around my way. A lot of benches. It's hard to find a bench in the park near me that doesn't actually have a plaque on it. And you quite often see them, even in really remote places here, you know, like maybe benches up on like cliff tops and places like that, where people like to sit. And, you know, and also in, you see it a lot in theaters and restaurants in the QFT here, you know. Shout out to Michael, who's programmer and a big supporter of Tokyo Jazz Drones. You know, I think when you go in there as well, they've had that done before where they sponsored seats. And so quite often the seat in front of you, you know, you'll see that someone has donated and contributed to the upkeep and the refurb of the cinema. So, I mean, it's such a cool thing. I mean, again, it's something that we've not seen in any jazz kisa that, you know, certainly the 200 odd that I've been in and the 300 odd that you've been in, I'm pretty sure we've never come across something like this. So it's again, not, it's totally unique,
not,
right?
Yeah, it's not really something that's done here. And I mean, look, not to overblow it, but think about it like this way. Like, you know, when you go to college, when I, at least in the US, when you go to college, a lot of the dorms are named after alumni, okay, who've gone on.
Not you, surely.
Whatever good things. Well,
there's not, you're not talking about the James Catchpole dormitory.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, they wouldn't take
Yet.
My money. But they, you know, it's because they had a great memory of the place, and it was very important in forming them, and they believe in the culture, they believe in what the university is doing, et cetera, et cetera. So they make a big donation. Well, this is that, but on a much smaller scale. And look, Philip, we know, as we said, from all the years now of doing the podcast, of doing the book, of talking to people, of meeting people and getting these great emails, we know that there are people who love this world, this world of jazz kisa so much. So think about it. If you make that effort to support us, and then you come to visit, you actually can get that feeling of, I helped to keep this place open, you know? I help to keep this little slice of jazz heaven open, and I can sit in my seat, get some free drinks, put in a couple record requests, and have a great
evening. That's the other good thing, right? So obviously, if you do come, particularly if you're a regular, you know, I think, you know, that seat will always be there for you. And like you said, I think it's maybe three drinks on the house and you know, two or three record requests. So you can find all those details on Kickstarter, but it's probably worth mentioning as well at this point, you know, that this is not really about keeping it AgaCon open, in the sense that there's no indication or there's no sense from Yoshida-san that in any way AgaCon's going under or anything like that. So it's not about a sinking ship. You know, it's very much that you and Otsuka-san, you know, DJ Otsuka, are taking on this place, and it's kind of an under new management situation, right? You know, Yoshida-san has had the foresight to know that, you know, eventually, you know, like it or not, he's simply going to be too old to keep running a business. You know, he talked a little bit about that a few weeks ago when we were in there, about, you know, starting to forget things and, you know, not just having the energy that he had. And so, you know, you're taking over this going concern, and you're keeping... you're keeping it open in a literal sense, but you're not sort of rescuing it in that way. You're going to take it into the, we hope, the next generation and indeed future jazz kisa generations that can enjoy it, right?
I mean, this is the idea. That's exactly right, because he's not in any he's not in any financial situation where he's like, he has to close, or the building is, you know, wanting to drive him out, or et cetera, et cetera. It's more a case of him thinking about the legacy of the place that he built and created by hand. He's been doing, he and his partner, Kinuko-san, have been doing, if you do speak Japanese, they've been doing a series of blog posts on the Eigacom website, sort of about the history of the shop. Really, really interesting. Even if you don't read Japanese, you can just, you know, try to translate it. But you can, you know, every time I've talked with him, I was there earlier today, actually, Philip, before we, you know, before we started to record. You understand that he has been thinking about the legacy of the place. And you know, not just the Eigacom. I mean, he's very much, and I've come to understand this more by talking to him and learning about it. Like, you know, we obviously, Jazz Kisa is mainly about the jazz and having your coffee and your booze, right? But it's also about the community. It's also about its place in Japanese social history. And in the Eigacom, a lot of jazz cases are like this. They're very much, I don't want to get too political about it, but let's just say that they're very much about helping Japanese society through some of the things that are a little bit difficult here, whether it's support to those who are living in poverty, those who've sort of been left out by the Japanese economic miracle. Even today, I learned something new, Philip. There's a very big poster towards the back of the Eigacom. It's an overview sort of helicopter shot of a crowded intersection. And I never knew what this was or why it was up there. It wasn't a still from a film. It didn't seem to have anything to do with jazz. And then I finally learned about it, that it's a shot of one of the major big protests that happened after the 2011 earthquake in Japan, when the Fukushima nuclear site was in danger of basically of meltdown and destroying half of the country. Mm. And so afterwards, you know, there were, you know, it, first of all, it's a myth that Japanese people don't protest. They might not protest the way they do in New York or in Ireland, but they do protest. People do have social conscience here. And there were thousands of people. And so this poster is an overview shot of that he, one of his customers took. And Yoshida-san explained that to me. He said, look, you know, like, we play jazz here, and I used to be a film director, so you got all the film books and posters, but this is also a part of Japanese society where we give a voice to people who normally don't have that access in mainstream life, you know? So that's why they had these pamphlets on the table with that poster from the photographer Noda-san, who had done a big project about Tibet and Fukushima. It was actually called Tibet Times Fukushima, and it was to bring awareness to Japanese people about, these are things happening overseas that you need to know about, and these are also things happening here in the country. So I was so... Philip, honestly, I was actually really touched, because it made me feel this sense of responsibility. Like, look, all, you know, I've joked about this before. I can happily spend the rest of my life playing jazz records and getting drunk every night, and that would be great, you know? But the Jazz Kisa is not just that, and we've seen that in a lot. I remember we had the famous trip up to Saitama, to Bunka, where they had a huge sticker, which was basically giving a big middle finger to the prime minister at the time. I mean, these are the kinds of things you don't see in other parts of, like, mainstream Japanese society. So having this cafe as a sort of a space for artists, for people working for social change, whether it's through NGOs or through academia or through the arts, is such an important thing in a society that does not really get a lot of encouragement from that, whether it's the government or just, you know, mainstream folks. So I was kind of hit by the seriousness of it, and I want to continue that. And Otsuka-san and I have talked about that a lot, about how, you know, and of course her as a working woman in the jazz world. I don't think I need to go into that. If you know anything about Japan, you can imagine that there's a lot of challenges as a woman in the jazz world. Mm. And so,
I mean, I think it really brings back to me the whole sort of fairy tale element of it. And I know we're kind of messing around, but, you know, there's something about that. I mean, when I wrote the essay for Tokyo Jazz Joints, you know, I talked about how this project was kind of the intersection of all these things I love. And I suppose, with the exception possibly of baseball, you know, you've got Japan, you've got jazz, you've got political activism, and you've got, you know, this kind of cultural creative space for music and for musicians and for artists. And I think, you know, it's just, as you said at the start, it's serendipitous, you know, and I hope certainly, and I will do everything I can to help you reach that goal, because I just think it's an incredible opportunity. I think it's a real next natural step in the evolution of your relationship with Japan, with jazz, and with jazz culture. And I think it's fantastic.
More, but we do have special award. Oh, but by the way, what makes you think there won't be baseball? There's
well, I mean, look. Get a TV that's playing baseball.
It's going to be better than the golf we were watching at Swingville if you want a deep cut. Okay. All right. There's nothing more boring on television than golf. Okay. So
possibly horse racing. But anyway, go on. Right. Go on.
Right. Okay. The top level reward, of which there are only 10 available. If you support us for 100,000 yen, not even $1,000, okay? We're talking 650 to 700 US dollars, even less in pounds or euros. You will have the opportunity to have your own individual lock-in. And what I mean by lock-in is you come to the cafe, you will be just with me or with Otsuka-san or the both of us. You're going to get 5 to 6 hours where you can go through the entire record collection. I mean, this is 2,500 plus records, okay? Many of which are extremely rare, particularly the European and Japanese jazz albums that he's showed me. Some of which he has said like, oh yeah, this one's pretty expensive on Discogs. It's about $2,000. And you're like, okay, I'm not going to even want to hold that in case I drop it.
Wow. So,
you know, again, think about this, Philip. You know, what we've talked about, going to all these kisaten around the country and how much you just want to dive into that record room when they have one, or just get behind the counter and start pulling stuff off the shelves. And you know you can't, okay? Even the guys who we know really well, like that's just never going to happen. But this is an opportunity to, you know, come in and see this collection that's been put together over 50 years. And not only can you have a look through, but you can pop it on this world famous audio system. And again, I'm not being hyperbolic. It is a world famous audio system. He has been profiled not just in Japanese audio magazines, of which are numerous. Just the other day, had a French journalist contact me who wanted to do a little segment about it for a French audio magazine. So there are people around the world who know about the Agacon sound system. And if you support us at that level, you will get the chance to come in. Basically, it's a lock-in in a beautiful jazz library with a world-famous audio system. And you'll even get your own bottle keep, which I don't think I need to explain what a bottle keep is to anybody listening. So you will be basically a lifetime, warm welcome member of the Agacon. And this is an opportunity that, again, there's only going to be 10 of these available. So I already know at least two or three people I'm pretty sure are going to jump on it because of the way that they like to collect records. But yeah, this is definitely like the top level of support, something that, you know, you will really never have the opportunity to do in any other jazz kisa.
Absolutely. Yeah. It sounds fantastic. I mean, they are brilliant rewards, very experiential, obviously a little bit less tangible than say a book or a record or a gadget. But I mean, again, like you said, something that you just simply cannot get and may not be able to get in any other situation, you know. And obviously this kind of Kickstarter, certainly as relates to Jazz Kisa, is also completely unique for that platform, you know. So it really is a once in a lifetime thing, and you know, I just can't wait to get it launched and to see how things go. And so just with that in mind, then it's probably up to me just to tamper that excitement a little bit and be mom and dad and say, you know, with Kickstarter, unfortunately, or fortunately perhaps, but, you know, either way, you don't get anything if you don't get everything. So, you know, you've got to hit that target. You've got to get that 100% that we said is 5 million yen, you get nothing at all. So we're really, really hopeful that you hit that target. And certainly not just hit it, but obviously once you've hit that target, people can still donate, people can still give, people can still support and get some of those amazing rewards. And no matter what level that you go in at, when you come to Agacon in Hakusan Station in Tokyo, you'll always get a warm welcome. I'm sure either yourself or Otsuka-san, or indeed both of you, if you're there at the same time, will welcome any supporters. And of course, remember, at most of those levels too, the first thing you'll be able to do is go and find your name on the Roll of Honor. So the campaign, as it stands, is launching on March the 13th, and it's going to finish on April 10th. That means if you're listening to this, you're a total Tokyo Jazz Joints nerd, You're going to have to wait probably
we know a couple of those out there. So,
we know a couple of those. And there's definitely one in Glasgow. Yeah.
But you know, you know what? I mean, in addition to those great rewards, you know, maybe it might take you a while if you're living overseas to get to Japan. But, you know, we are in this for the long haul. I was just, as I mentioned, I was at the AgriCon today, Philip, with Otsuka-san, and we were talking about it and how, you know, we're kind of like both in a bit of a transitional stage in terms of work and family and whatnot. And this is something that, you know, we're both very, very committed to. So even if, you know, even if maybe you want to support, but you're not sure you can get over to Japan in the next year or two, like, hey, look, that's fine. You just keep in touch, come in 3, 4, 5 years, we should be there. I'm hoping to do this for the long term. And you never know. You may be lucky. You might find a mumbling Irishman at the counter complaining about how he can't pay by his e-card because it's still a cash-only joint. So, you know, maybe
I mean, I just love the fact that I think the fact that you call it an e-card just really I think says as much about you as it does about me. But listen, no matter what, even if you never get to AgriCon, I mean, what I think, and when we first started talking about this, and you know, I know we should probably acknowledge the fact that Julie, my partner, also had a small hand in this, because this kind of idea, I think, came about in a conversation last year, you know, when we were just chatting about AgriCon, and you know, this has been a long... It has been a long road for you, and it has been a long time in the making. Oh, but I think, you know,
absolutely. Regardless of the most practical advice, yes, you know,
that's it.
Hey,
yeah.
Guys, why don't you just do this? Hello,
and just do that. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. It was like when she said, why don't you just contact publishers? And I was like, yeah,
it's that clear. That's actually not a bad idea. That clear editor vision that we just, you know,
there you go.
Caught up in the weeds. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So anyway, look, you know, no matter where you are in the world, and no matter whether you get to AgriCon or not, you know, you'll always be able to say, you know, I own a tiny little part of that, and I contributed to preserving and you know, evolving the legacy of this amazing place. So look, let me get to the dates again, and don't you interrupt me this time, because people need to know when these things are happening. So March 13th, the campaign is launching. So if you're a Tokyo Jazz Joints nerd, you're listening to this and you're thinking, right, I'm going to have to wait a couple of days before I can pledge. If you're listening to it after the 13th of March, go to Kickstarter, search AgriCon, that's E-I-G-A-K-A-N, and you will get the project, no problem. Also, if you're listening to that after April the 10th, I'm really sorry, but the campaign has now closed, and hopefully we'll have successfully funded the project. You'll still be welcome at AgriCon, of course, but if you need to find the link and you're looking about how to support, you can always find those links really easily. They'll be on Mr. OK Jazz Tokyo on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. You also can find them on Tokyo Jazz Joints, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as well. So we'll be sharing those links far and wide. And if you do pledge, thank you. If you don't pledge, that's okay. But if you think someone else that you know in your circle or further afield might like to, then please feel free to share that link. Like it, reshare it, repost it. And James, once the 13th lands, you going to keep your fingers crossed for 30 days?
I'm just going to have to like figure out how to maybe mute the notifications on the Kickstarter app, so I'm not constantly looking at
you it hope, all day. You hope. You hope there are notifications.
I do have a day job to continue with, so I've got to sort of focus on making the bread, some of which is going to be set aside for the AgriCon. But yeah, I'm you know, Philip, honestly, I'm trying to take it. I'm so excited. And when I was there today, you know, obviously I was just thinking about, you know, I can't wait to do, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, it's getting way ahead of myself. But I'm also trying to take it in stride to be like, look, the opportunity came quite out of the blue and randomly. And obviously be very disappointed if, for, you know, we can't make it for whatever reason. But as you know, and we're going to get into this on a lot of our upcoming episodes, actually, there are a lot of jazz keys in Japan, and there are a lot of them that are going to be closing pretty soon for many different reasons. So there'll be other opportunities out there, but this is the one that sort of like, I just can't, I can't think of a better place for all of the reasons. Everything about the place, you know, people, sometimes people ask me this actually, you know, when they're, you know, when we're meeting or when I've been interviewed, like, you know, well, what is it that brought you to Japan? It's another of this serendipitous moments. I came here not knowing about the jazz culture here. I knew there were Live in Japan albums, but I didn't know how insane people were for jazz in Japan. What brought me here was actually Japanese movies. I studied Japanese movies in college. And I fell in love with a whole bunch of different directors and used to, you know, back in those days, you had to order copies of it, you know, to get shipped to you on either 8mm or 16mm, you know. And so the Eiga-kan actually being that Yoshida San himself was a film director, and so many of the books in the shop, about half of them are jazz related, but half of them are actually Japanese cinema related. I mean, Philip, you joked about the baseball. All I need to do is have the baseball playing in there, and I'm gonna move into the place, man. This is like, this is everything that I love, you know? Japanese cinema, jazz, a fridge full of beer. I mean, this is definitely my destiny, and so we're gonna go as hardcore.
I can hear your can hear your family rejoicing in the background there. listen, look. We've done all we can. You've done all you can. By the next time we speak on the podcast, there's a good chance that the campaign will definitely be well underway. It may even be finished, but we will be back with episode 65. And here's hoping, James, that I get to record my outro, which would go something along the lines of, and James and the Eiga-kan lived happily ever after, which, let's face it, would be the perfect Hollywood and jazz kisa fairy tale ending, right? So fingers crossed. So
I'm
look,
so,
good
I'm
luck
so glad
with it.
You could get your creative writing hat on, Philip. I mean, in addition to all the help you've given
I'm
me,
a primary just, school teacher.
No, it's just, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yes, your years of teaching elementary school have come in handy.
Thank you
so much, brother.
Yeah.
I love you. We'll get it done, bro.
All right.
Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Ciao.
See ya. Bye-bye.